Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up.
You know what I've been thinking about?
What, girl?
How good your hair looked recently.
Oh my God. And I mean, what was that? I'll tell you exactly what it was. It's all thanks to our lovely guest who is with us today. Tiana.
Hi,
what's up, Tiana?
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, ours. So Tiana is behind my hot look with my hair. She owns her own business, and we are going to have her talk a lot about her styling business and her hair business and all of the incredible things she's doing, diving into new elements of the industry that we didn't even know could be a combo meal that you have at your store.
Hey, I'm just happy to be here.
So give us a little bit of background about your life and just kind of start from the beginning of like growing up and getting into this industry.
Okay, cool. So I grew up always knowing that I wanted to get into hair. My dad will probably be listening to this, and he's going to remember that he used to have a BlackBerry phone. And when I was like five, he recorded what all of us kids wanted to do when we grew up. And I said then, like, oh, I want to be a hairstylist. I want to do hair. And it just like stuck with it. I always had the personality trait in high school as like being the feature hairstylist, was always styling my hair, doing my makeup in class when I should have been studying, basically. I went to beauty school when I was 18 or 19 and, just kind of hit the ground running and haven't really looked back ever since.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I always say I was really fortunate in always being pretty decisive in like what I wanted to do. Where I'm at now, maybe like wasn't always like had different like pivots and turns, but doing hair was always that thing that I knew I wanted to do.
That definitely isn't the case for a lot of people.
Yeah, especially a lot of people like our age too. Right. So I always say that's like definitely something I'm very fortunate that has stuck with me for sure.
And did you grow up in the area?
I grew up in Defiance.
Oh, okay.
So kind of very small community. Great place to grow up and raise a family. I always knew that I wanted to move on from it, but that is where I like really grew the base part of my career. So I'll always be grateful for that. And my family still lives there, so I'm still able to like go home and stuff. And it's obviously not far from here. So
yeah, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Do you have any like core memories from growing up of doing your friend's hair or your own hair?
Yeah.
Anything that kind of contributed to this?
Yeah, I have a lot, especially in high school. My favorite memories of like the school dances, like the proms and the homecomings. Like the dances were cool, but I would spend all day with my friends and my sister getting all of us ready. And that was like the most fun part was us doing
ice for
getting ready. Yeah, getting ready was always the most fun part. And then going to dinner or getting food with friends was always like the really fun part too. And then the dance was kind of like, okay, I guess we're here now. So that was a really big core memory. Back when, I don't know if you guys ever did like the Kool-Aid in your hair too, the color.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I always had red bangs in my, it was just always such like a thing. That was like the only way my mom would ever let me color my hair. I begged my mom when I was like, I think like a senior in high school, I was like, please let me box dye my hair. Like a red tint. I don't know why. I was just so like set on it. And she said, yeah, her poor bathroom though was always like stained with hair color. So yeah, those are probably like my main core memories though with hairstyling.
It also makes me think of the like heads, the like bus with that hair that you could like kind of dress.
Yeah. So tell us about beauty school and like what that experience was like. Where did you go? How long is it?
I went to Paul Mitchell, the school here in Toledo. There's three beauty schools up here, and I tolerated beauty school. It was tough. I had a lot of personal life changes and stuff going on when I was in school, so that definitely, along with trying to like pursue my career, made the days feel a little longer. So with cosmetology and with most beauty professional based industries, it's an hours based program. So at least back in my day, I don't know, the circumstances might be different, but back around like 2018 was when I went to beauty school. 2017, 2018. And you had to get 1,500 hours to get your letter, to graduate from school and then take your state boards, which is then what gives you your state license then to obviously like perform hair services in a salon. Most schools, it will be anywhere from, if you're going full time, it'll be anywhere from like 10 months to like 13, 14 months, just depending on how each school's program was. Mine was an 11-month program. So I started in June of 2017 and I finished in May of 2018. And so then I was able to be licensed then by like the middle of the summer.
Wow. Yeah, with that many hours, that yeah, very damn packed.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I always say, looking back, like, the days were so long, but that year really was short. It didn't help that I, you know, like I said, it was just, I was 19, was in a lot of very pivotal time in my life, and I had just, I mean, I feel like we all kind of go through that at some point throughout, like, our college career. So school itself was fine. I mean, it... Really, with beauty school, they really just prepare you education-wise to pass your state board, which what we, your state board exam for cosmetology, it isn't about how skilled you are with doing hair. It's about how safe can you perform hair services. It's not about, like, the skill. And did you, like, gain the basic principles of, you know, what you learned in school? So to pursue the more like advanced education of like what I perform in the salon now, everything that I perform in the salon now are things that I learned on my own outside of school. My mom and I joke that I basically had to pay tens of thousands of dollars just to learn how to do hair through YouTube videos, basically, because like what I actually learned in school were just basic building blocks. And, like, it's not fun, don't get me wrong, but it is just, like, how it is.
Yeah.
You know, I think also, too, on the flip side, if they do want it to be something where it is a faster program so that you can, you know, get on with your career, I think that there is only so much that they can, like, pack into, like, you know, a 1,500-hour, 11-month program.
Sure.
Too. Because in beauty school, you do have to learn a lot about, like, infections. At one point, I knew, like, basically all the bones in the head. I'm not gonna lie, I've forgotten most of them now. I know like the basic ones, but there's a lot of the like technical stuff that they have to teach you. Yeah. So again, beauty school is more so about how safe can you perform services, not how skilled are you going to
that
be.
Makes sense. Yeah. And so like with the state board, tell us a little bit more about that. Like how long is it and like how much did you have to really study for?
So the exam itself is kind of like an 8 to 3 o'clock day. Okay. It's just a one-day exam that it can be, that's broken up into two parts. So there is a written portion, which is where you take like more of the book work stuff, and then there's a practical part where again, like they'll be actually like seeing you hands-on. You have to study for, I think it's maybe 100 questions. Mostly it's about like infections. From what I remember, a lot of things with more of like the technical names, just up a lot of vocabulary things, just making sure that you understand the basic principles when it comes to hair, skin, and nails. That's the other thing too with a cosmetology license, it's not just hair, it's hair, skin, and nails. Right. So you have to make sure that you have like the basic principles of all three of those. And then the practical portion is a hands-on test that you do different parts, foundational parts of the services. So you do like what they call the state board haircut, which is a standard haircut that you were supposed to have learned in school at some point, that basically shows that you have some basic cutting principles, and again that you can safely perform it. They're looking to see how well can you prevent infections, because one of the things I feel like none of us really know until you are in beauty school is just how quickly infections can be passed if you're not, you know, performing things safely. Same thing with color. There's like a base color service that you do, like, you know, if you're putting color just on the roots, if you're doing a color all over, if you're doing a highlight. And then you also mock like a hair perm with like the rollers. And then you also mock a facial and a manicure as well. And again, just very base things. They really just want to see, like, did you gather some information while you were in school? And can you perform this on a client safely without, you know, spreading infection, basically? You spend the vast majority of your schooling time preparing for that test and studying for it. And then there's normally a period of time you can't actually apply to schedule your state boards until after you complete all your 1500 hours of school.
Okay.
So there's normally like a month period of time between like how far the state board testing facility, how far out they're scheduling out to when you graduate. You normally have a few weeks in between to kind of like further study and prepare for that. So
and being that you were studying not only hair but like nails, skin, other things we had in school, what kind of drew you to like really diving into hair? Obviously you said you'd always wanted to, but what about school made it the right choice for you?
So I always knew that I wanted to focus on hair. I did want to be educated and be able to perform all the services, at, especially when I was like touring schools and whatnot. I wanted to know, have a good idea of nails and skin. And at least at the time, my particular school didn't really have a lot of like education when it came to skin or nails. I remember like for like the makeup education day, they would just tell us, bring your own makeup and do each other's makeup for school. Like that was like the education part of it. So they didn't really provide a lot of education at the time. My particular school was just solely focused on hair, which helped me selfishly personally, because it made me then, it just kind of like, I don't know, reminded me and like really enforced that that's what I was like really going to focus into. And then in particular then with that too, I realized while I was in school that I was really passionate then about more color-based services and a lot of texture-based services as well. I thought I was going to more so focus in on cutting. And I like cutting, but color and texture things just came so natural and easy to me. And so then that made me realize then in school that not only did I want to primarily do hair, but then with hair, I wanted to focus on color and texture then as well, which is what I still do now.
Well, and I was going to ask you like what kind of your favorite service was that you learned about. So I also want to ask, like, was there one that was your least favorite or the most difficult that you had to learn?
In school, my least favorite were the manicures and the perms. And that was solely because they just truly did not teach those to us. And then they would tell us one day, like, hey, we have a client coming in for, you know, a manicure or perm. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, you need to tell me. And like, school clients are, you don't know what you're going to get. It could be someone really sweet. I had my fair share of people yelling at me, you know, saying like, oh, you don't know what you're doing. I'm like, what? Yeah, it's school.
We're out of school. Yeah.
You kind of sign for that, you know. So then it wouldn't help then that like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing because my educators hadn't taught that to me yet. And then I have clients wanting the service. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. And they're just, you know, making that glaringly obvious that I'm making it clear that I don't know what I'm doing too. So yeah, the perms and the manicures are definitely my least favorite. So I don't do those anymore.
For sure.
Unfortunately.
And then jumping back a little bit. So after you did get your like your license, what were kind of your next steps like moving on from?
Yeah. That? So after I got my license, I went off and I worked in a commission-based salon. So in the hair world, there are typically two different salons. There are a commission-based salon, which is employee-based. You are employed by the salon. And then there are what they call booth rental salons, where you are an independent contractor and you rent a chair from that salon. I knew that one day I would want to be a booth renter and, you know, kind of be an independent contractor, own my own business. But being so new in the industry, I didn't want to get in over my head. Plus, while I was living in Defiance at the time, still with my parents, I was trying to build a clientele here in Toledo because I knew that my then boyfriend, now husband at the time, and I were probably going to be settling down in Toledo. So I was like, why build a clientele all the way in my hometown if I'm going to, you know, settle down here in Toledo anyway. So knowing I didn't know very many people in Toledo and I was newer in the industry, I wanted to work at a commission-based salon. So after I got my license, that's where I went to work at. But they were only open for about like 6 months after I started. Mm-hmm. By the time that I started, it was just a salon that was just like kind of starting to not be as well in business anymore. They really just, looking back, they just didn't really like keep up with like, they were really big like 10 years prior and like the industry had changed a lot and just what people looked for in hair services had changed a lot as well. So client facing and stylist facing, they just were like still kind of dated back into like, you know, the like early 2000s essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just don't think that they were able to keep up with the changes. And so I was only about 6 months into doing hair and we got like a week notice from that boss
wow.
that we're closing. And it was also my birthday weekend too. So then that didn't help. Yeah, it was a great birthday gift.
Yeah.
So I was like freaking out didn't really know what I was going to do. And then I just ultimately decided to start working in my hometown just because I knew there was a salon available that would be able to hire me on. But that was a booth rental salon too. So I did kind of have to like, quote unquote, make the jump a little bit faster than I was anticipating into being booth rental. But I was able to, you know, skyrocket my career. And that's kind of what like has led me to here where I'm at today. So,
yeah. So obviously you said that you and your husband, John, you both sewed yeah. down here.
Yeah.
But talk a little bit about kind of like you went from working at your salon in Defiance to then here
yeah.
owning your own salon. So talk about that transition and yeah. getting to where you are now.
It's so crazy. So I worked at that salon. I started there in late 2018 and I worked there until I'll just go like step by step. So I was there in 2018, worked there all throughout 2019. My clientele, I was basically able to go from not having a very full clientele when I started working there until like I know about like 6 months later, then I had such a full enough clientele that I was able to leave my second job that I had. I used to coach gymnastics on the side too. And it got to the point. I love that job so much. I say all the time, like that was such a low pressure job. Like I really just got paid to like hang out with kids and help them like do cartwheels and stuff. Like if I have the time, I would love to like just coach one night a week just to like have such a chill job. I loved it. But it got to the point where because coaching, I would coach either in the mornings or in the evenings, and doing hair, like a lot of stylists have to work evenings and weekends. And it was to the point where I was having to either decide, do I want to try to take the night off from like coaching and like try to pick up a client because that's obviously what my career's geared towards, or do I want to like turn this client away so that I could, you know, not have to call off work. So finally, I was still living at home, so I was very fortunate with that. My parents are truly like the most supportive human beings on the planet. And so my mom was like, look, you have very low overhead when it comes to like adult bills, if you will, like you might as well take the jump now because you shouldn't be having to ask yourself, do I call off from one job or do I say no to the other? So I was very fortunate that within, like I said, I was around like 6 months, I was making enough money to like sustain to be able to leave my second job. And I was doing hair then full time as an independent contractor then on my own. And then it was the summer of 2020. So I had moved in with John, my husband, but like I said, we were just dating at the time. But I moved in with him early summer. And then so then I was starting to commute them back. I went from commuting from Defiance to Toledo for school that now I'm living in Toledo and I'm commuting to Defiance. So was not loving the commute. And a fellow like Instagram friend of mine, I'd say, had reached out to me and she was opening up a salon in Bowling Green. And she was like, I would love for you to come work here. No pressure, though, if you're happy at your current salon. And I was already starting to outgrow that salon in Defiance a little bit just with like personal values anyway. So I kind of looked at this, and normally I'm really afraid of change. At least when I was younger, I was. And I remember when I got the message, like I just instantly felt like a relief already. But then I was like, oh, wait, like my clients are in Defiance. But then if I work in Bowling Green, like that means that they'll have a drive and like, you know, you're not going to keep everybody that way. Right. So sat down with John, and again, another insanely supportive person. And he was like, maybe you should just see if you can like split your time up and maybe start off in Bowling Green part time and then go down to part time in Defiance so that you can build up your clientele in Bowling Green while you like sustain your current client base in Defiance.
Smart.
And so that's what I did. I did that for about a year. And then my Defiance clients were starting to drive to me in Bowling Green because they were like, you have better availability out here because you're new to the area. And so I was like, okay, so if most of us are going to drive to Bowling Green, I'm going to make this so much easier for me. And I'm just going to work in Bowling Green full time.
Yeah, real.
And so it was the late summer of 2021 then that I went and I left the Defiance salon fully and worked in Bowling Green then until basically March of this year in 2025. And then it was in the fall, late fall of 2023 was then when I decided that I wanted to open up my salon, but I didn't actually like start the process of it until actually it was around a year ago. So the fall of 2024 then.
Wow.
So yeah, that's like a little bit of, I have to like think back to it because I'm getting to the point now where I'm like, what year was that again? Like,
I mean, you've been doing a lot.
I know.
Out of time. So that said, then talk to us kind of about like your step by step in opening your own business and talk to us about Styled.
Okay, cool. So it was after our wedding. It was fall of 2023 and we were just kind of like, okay, like the wedding's done. What's kind of next for our careers and what do we want? Like, you know, like this next chapter of our lives to look like, right? And so I was like, you know, I was starting to already kind of feel, I would just have like these feelings of just kind of feeling like I was like outgrowing my current workspace. So I was kind of starting to have a little bit of those feelings, which that one was tough because I was personally close with a lot of the stylists that worked there at the time. But I was one of the main things was I was kind of getting sick of having a work commute because even though Toledo to Bowling Green wasn't nearly as much, I was just like, I'm just so sick of like having to be in the car for at least an hour to go and do hair, which mind you, too, that's a physical job. I'm on my feet for like 8 to 10 hours a day. So I had said to my husband, I was like, you know, I am kind of sick of having a commute all the time for work. And especially like we do eventually want kids. And so I was kind of thinking like big picture wise, like I don't want to have a commute to work, especially when we go to have kids in a few years. And he was like, I completely agree. And it's so silly. But then I was kind of thinking, I was like, OK, so do I want to go be the new girl at someone else's salon where like after a while, I just feel like, you know, this was the third salon that I've worked at. You kind of like, when you've seen one, you've seen them all, you know, I was like, I don't really know if I really want to be the new girl at someone else's salon when I could just create my own kind of crazy, basically. And it's really silly, too. But my a lot of my in-laws on my husband's dad's side, a lot of them are business owners. And I seen them not long after the wedding. And so they were kind of like, OK, the wedding's done. When are you opening up your salon? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't really know if I'm going to. And they were like, what do you mean you're not going to? Like, that's kind of what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, what? No, like, I don't really know if I could do that. But after kind of talking with them and then just taking some time to think about it, I said to my husband, I was like, I think I do want to open up a salon. But this was the same year that, like I said, we got our wedding. We had bought a house. We had started another side hustle business earlier that year of like digital marketing stuff that we started to do. So I'm telling him this at the end of 2023 and he's like, look, I love this. He had been telling me for years to open up a salon. So he's like, great. I'm glad that you finally came to that realization. But like, can we just breathe for like 5 minutes basically? And I was like, yeah, I want to like take a lot of time to like just research basically like step by step. How the heck do I open up a salon? I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, you know. So I took a lot of time between October and like January, February, just simply researching like how do you open a brick and mortar business basically? Because, you know, I've been an independent contractor. And like I said, we do digital marketing on the side as well. So then that's another like contract based business. So I was very familiar with how contract based businesses ran, but not anything when it came to actually managing a space basically. So I was able to take a lot of time and just researching like, do I realistically think that this is possible for me? is this truly something that I want to do? And, you know, everything kind of like pointed into that direction of like, and it was something that I just couldn't stop thinking about. Like, I would like literally struggle sleeping at night, basically being like, just thinking and just like such an excited, creative way of like, this is actually something that I feel like once when that like feeling overcame me, like I just couldn't escape from it. And I felt like with my experience in the industry and on like my experience in other salons and whatnot, I felt like I could kind of create something different for both stylists, but for clients as well. And so then, you know, getting into 2024, I was kind of starting to spend the time seeing what I could do from the main thing that of like, could I do this or not, was more so from like the financial end. I knew that I had the discipline. I love to work. Like, my husband and I, we both, that's like our thing that we do all the time, basically, is work. And so I knew that I had the drive in it work-wise, but I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't, you know, that financially it was something that I could do. So luckily I was able to basically like between the money that I had set aside that I knew that I could kind of like continue to make, and then from a small business bank side then too, that could kind of help in terms of like, you know, like the loan basically. Then I figured out in the spring, like, okay, between those both, I can financially do it. So then from there, once I knew that, like, that was like the only thing basically holding me back. Once I knew financially that this was something I could do, I was like, okay, there's no turning back now. So,
yeah,
got my parents involved. My parents were super excited. My dad came with me to, I think, every space to help me like look at commercial spaces. And I found the space that I had now. I love the location of it because I still have a lot of clients that come to me from Defiance. So it's right off of the highway. That was a big thing, but it's also in a nice, like, just general familiar area too of Toledo, but it's not anything like too overcrowded or anything like that. And then I spent the summer then of 2024 just getting like the brand part, both from a external standpoint and an internal standpoint. So both like stylist and client facing, got the brand part all figured out. And then at the end of the summer then was when I was able to get the keys to my space. And was able then to spend like the fall into like the winter renovating it and getting it ready. And then I was able to open up in the spring.
What was that like, being handed the keys to your own space?
Wild. Like, it was wild. It was truly like an out of body experience, I feel like.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. I remember the day that I signed the lease, I'm already an emotional person, but I remember the day I signed the lease, I just like, I had to wait a couple, my landlords, with how their process was, I had to sign my lease with an attorney, get it notarized, and then give it to my landlords, and then they had to like process it and sign it. So I didn't get the keys the same day that I signed my lease. I know everyone's a little different. So I had to wait a couple of days between signing the lease and getting the keys. But I remember the day that I signed the lease, I dropped it off at my landlord's office and I just like drove in front of the parking lot of the salon now. And I just like sat there and like sobbed, just of like all different, like I was like scared, but excited, but happy. And all the things in between. So
I love it.
And then the day I got the keys itself, I think I maybe teared up a little bit, but I was mainly just like really excited. I think it was helpful that I got the emotions out a couple of days prior.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No, that's so awesome. And I think it's really interesting, like hearing your whole journey, talking about like your clientele and transferring them from each thing, which I think is also like something that applies to other industries as well, like keeping your clients while also working on new business.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious your thoughts there of like, is there one that's more important to you, or is it a balance
of like kind of like keeping clients?
Yeah, but then also attracting new business at the same time.
My like clients that have been with me since the beginning, there's just like something special there. I feel like yes, you always want to be attracting new clients for sure. I always say like I will never close my client book, quote unquote, because I always want to have the opportunity there for new clients. And I, at least with hairdressers, you know, because you never know, we don't own clients, so you could always have a client that decides that they don't want to come to you anymore. So I always want to be attracting new clients, but there's just something about my clients that I've had since like just about the beginning that are just the bond there is just so special. Like it's more than me just doing their hair. And it's just about like the relationship that we have. I have a client that I've seen her since I was in beauty school. So she's literally been with me at every single salon. And she actually lives here in Toledo. So she went from seeing me at school here in Toledo to driving to Defiance to see me and then Bowling Green. And she was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. This is so much closer. And now she's like, you're 10 minutes away. Like it literally, you've gone all over Northwest Ohio and it's all full circle now. And just like being a part of each other's lives, basically, like the amount of clients that I have that I've had since the beginning and like we'll keep up, even like be messaging each other beyond up our hair appointments and just like random little like life updates for each other, you know. So, I mean, from a business side, it is important to keep attracting new clients. But just the like connection side, just the ones that I connect with and I just have that bond with that I've had since, I mean, I'm almost 28 and these clients have seen me since I was like 20, 21 years old. You know, it's like you saw me when I was a baby and I didn't know what I was doing. And now I own my own salon. Like, it's like them that I'm like, I truly would not have a thing that I have today if it weren't for you.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So,
and I want to talk too about kind of your branding, but overarching. So, you know, I want to know about how you chose your name, your vibe for the place, how, you know, obviously part of your brand is when you have other stylists in the salon working with you, they're an extension of yourself and your brand. So how are you choosing all of these things and the people who you're surrounding yourself with?
So naming a business is super hard.
That's wild.
The salon is called Styled Hair Co. My hair name is Tiana Styles, which is hilarious because I get a handful of times a year people ask if my last name is Styles, which I would love for it to be. I think that's iconic. But no, it's just my hair name, which, side note, was picked out by my husband's friend. He made me a logo back when they were in college, and my name, my Instagram name used to be like Tiana Hair or Tiana Drain Hair, which was my maiden name. And I had asked him to make me a logo, and he was like, I can't. He's like, I have this idea though. I have this idea of like putting a T, like you have too many names going on. So can we just make it two names, make it Tiana Styles? And I was like, yeah, sure, I don't care. And literally, I know I would run with it for literally everything. And so then when it came to, okay, I'm opening up a salon, what the heck do I name this thing? I knew that I wanted my like current name and my current brand in it just because I look at it kind of as an ode to what it, I had to get me there. I didn't want my personal name in it. I just was like, I know that other stylists are going to be building their brands in my salon. So I didn't really want that misalignment to come in there. Plus, I want Styled Hair Co. to eventually be something like way bigger than just Tiana.
That's also a very beautiful and generous thing to offer people who are working with you. I feel like a lot of maybe like different generations or different kinds of people, whatever, would not necessarily offer the same thing. If you want people to kind of have the you came up under my tutelage type vibe. Yeah. So I really appreciate that.
People will come into the salon and they'll be like, I want to chat with the owner. And I'm sitting here like, okay, I'm proud to be the owner. But I'm like, it's like, I don't know. It's still, and maybe it'll probably come with, you know, years of time. But it's, I look at it as like, I just had like this dream basically. And I'm just over here, like just pursuing this dream that, you know, and I don't really care for like the title part with it basically. But yeah, so that's why I was like, I wanted to have something as an ode. I'm just a really sentimental person, so I was like, I wanted to have something that just helped serve as like an ode to, you know, what I had to get me there. So I wanted to have a portion of Tiana Styles in the name, but again, like I said, take my name out of it. So I kind of came up with the Styled Hair Co. part then, because I knew I wanted it to primarily be a hair salon. And so then with that then too, I felt like it was pretty general as well for pretty recognizable. I didn't really see a lot of salon names similar to that in our area. So I wanted it to be something that would help stand out for clients. And then also too, for the stylists that work there, for the stylist clients. Plus, I wanted it to be a really general name for the stylist there, no matter what type of brand that they have,
yeah.
that it can be kind of like a sister, like a little sister brand inside of, you know, Styled Hair Co. in and of itself to all of that. So yeah, that's kind of how I came up with that.
That's awesome. Thanks. And talk too about you have all of these services that you offer,
yeah,
specifically for hair, of course. Uh-huh. But when you go in, it's like it's a whole experience, and you've been expanding on the experience, like having drinks and snacks for, yeah, your folks, and you know, you have merch there, you have products and things that they can purchase.
Yeah.
But now you're also having the styled plant,
yes,
situation. Yeah. So let's talk about
let's
that.
Talk about it. So I knew, and that was kind of those things that I thought of when I was like, you know, saying I couldn't sleep at night because I was getting so excited for it, was I wanted the salon to be more than, quote unquote, just a salon. Nothing wrong with, you know, salons that are, you know, hey, we do good hair here and that's it. I just knew that I wanted an experience for people, not just for clients, but I also wanted an experience for stylists as well. And honestly, a lot of it just kind of stems from, like, I'm just a girl and I just love all like the girly things. Like I love, like, you know, sitting and getting drinks with friends and just, I love just like hanging out. And I just really wanted the salon itself to feel like a place that like you can come as you are and just come hang out. It's a good vibe and, you know, kind of going from there. So something that was really important to me was to kind of have like lots of like the seasonal drinks and the snacks. So I kind of tried to go off of like, and cocktail lounge kind of vibe with that. So yeah, we have like a full fledged like drink and snack bar with that then too. And then I wanted to also to on the hair side have just lots of resources for hair care as well. Just because a lot of clients, you know, they're like, okay, what do I gotta get? What product do I have to get? What tool do I have to get? What hair care thing do I have to get? Where do I have to get this from? So I wanted the salon itself to be a little bit more of like a one-stop shop thing, yeah, where, you know, we have professional hair care. We have a couple of different lines. We have them at like different affordability rates than too, which was important to me because I don't feel like hair care should be something that you have to like overly invest a ton of money into. And then we also have like a lot of hair care items as well. So we've got like, you know, different types of hair ties, even things of like, you know, the satin bonnets, satin pillowcases. Gosh, now I'm drawing a blank to stuff. Different types of like claw clips, just different types of hair tools basically for taking care of your hair. And then I'm a huge plant fanatic. I have been for years, and I knew that I wanted the salon to have a lot of greenery. There's just, we have huge windows and we have a lot of like wide open space. And I knew that I wanted plants to take up vast majority of it. I feel like plants are one of those things that like they bring people together, whether you are experienced with plants or you're not experienced with plants. I just feel like it's a way that brings people together. And that was a huge thing with the salon as a whole, was I just wanted to bring people together with. And my mom had actually approached me earlier this spring. So it was not long after the salon had opened up, and she was like, you should really open up a plant store inside the salon. Like, you are so good with plants. I think that'd be a great idea. And I was like, I would love to, but like, I don't think I have like the bandwidth to like fully run this all on my own. And my mom was like, no, I'll do it with you. And I was like, okay, like, hey, yeah, let's do it.
I love that.
I know. So my mom honestly like does 95% of the back work with it. Honestly, I just hold the space for them essentially. That's awesome. And that's so fun too. I always like the salon itself is basically like a family ran business. Like my dad is super involved in his own way, my husband's super involved in his own way, now my mom is able to be really involved in her own way too, because yeah, the plant store would not have been, it was something that I wanted. I kind of did think about it when I first got the salon opened up, but I was pretty overall, the salon just, it takes a lot of my time, which I wouldn't have it any other way. But yeah, I was like, I need to like do one thing at a time. So it was something that I was thinking like maybe in a couple of years. But then when my mom said like, oh, I'll I'll run it with you. I was like, okay, yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And it's been so fun because it's so fun to see clients get excited about it. We have a wide array of different types of plants. Most of them we do in like nice decorative pots as well, because I feel like some stores will sometimes have them in decorative pots, but we like it to kind of look like just like a way to visualize it, how you can put it in your home too, which is really cool. My mom is super, super crafty, and it's just like she has such a creative eye for plants. She also makes her own like amazing, beautiful wreaths too. She's just a super crafty, nifty person when it comes to that kind of stuff. So she is able to like see a plant and she's like, this type of plant needs to go in this type of pot, and this type of pot belongs in this type of plant. Whereas like I can, but I feel like I love the plants themselves. And so, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it just goes, so far has gone hand in hand perfectly together. So
I love how like willing you are to just invite everyone in.
Yeah, I feel like I just want this salon. Even like we have our neighbors are Pizza Cat, and we even have people over there, and I literally tell them, I'm like, hey, if the lights are on, someone's here, like if you need to come in and hang out, like, because I've just gotten to be like kind of like friends with some of the people that work there, I'm like, come in. I just want the salon to be such a safe space for people, and especially too, if I look at it as if my salon can serve as like a place that like can inspire your creativity, like for my mom, for example, like it's like the biggest honor and privilege, I feel like, to like think of it that like my mom has been able to kind of have her own little creative outlet, and that my salon's able to like be a host of that.
Yeah, Spiritus, I love that. That is beautiful.
Yes.
And I feel like we have talked a lot about all of the really amazing things that have been going on with the business, but I'm also curious, especially for any listeners who might be thinking of starting their own business, if you faced any unexpected challenges or things that you might warn people when trying to open their own business.
Yeah. So, Lucas County in particular, if you're listening in Lucas County and you want to open up a salon or open up any sort of business, obtaining permits is a pain in the behind. So I would just, and I already kind of had a heads up that anytime you're doing anything structural to a place, even like my renovations were very minor, but I did still have to install plumbing and electric lines. That involved a whole permit process. Just make phone calls. Don't be afraid. Like, you need to do more than just Google searching, because luckily I did more than just Google searching. I know ChatGPT is a huge thing right now, but you got to like make phone calls, and don't be afraid to make multiple phone calls. I had made multiple phone calls to places that I knew I was going to need more like legal permits and just legal go ahead basically to like start a process. And still, when I was like in that renovation process, there were still multiple holdups that I had basically. And at the end of the day, no one cares more about your business more than you. So don't rely on, you know, oh, I'm going to hire a professional and they're going to help me out. Because the amount of professionals that I had, even just for contractors that I asked to come out and look at quotes, I would get ghosted, I would get no-showed, or, you know, whatever. Like, I had an architect that, my architect was basically why my permits got held up, basically, because apparently, and again, this is just where it's like, he at the end of the day, he didn't care because he did the base part of his job, but that was fine. But there were lots of other parts of getting permits, basically, that I did not know about, that I thought that, you know, between what I had made phone calls over, you know, they had told me one thing, and then apparently they were expecting, you know, my architect, because they kind of supposes is like acts as like the middleman between me and the county, that he failed to tell me about. So my opening process was delayed between that and issues with my landlords too, honestly, with signing documentation that I needed. My opening date, I could have probably opened like end of December, early January, but I didn't end up opening up until late March, which as a small business owner, like I was paying rent. I was paying booth rent at the current place that I was working at, or at the old place I was working at. And then I was paying rent on the space itself. So I'm paying a lot of money in rent for no wheels to get turning. Mm-hmm. So just long story short, make the phone calls that you know that you need to make, and like, don't expect other people to kind of like figure out things for you, because at the end of the day, no one cares more about your business more than you do.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably my biggest thing. And just at the end of the day too, like, don't be afraid to go for it, you know, because I also think of it as like, I hear people being like, oh, I want to do this, but I'm scared. You don't know unless if you try it. And the worst thing that happens is if you realize at some point that it's not for you, or, you know, you need to close it down for a little bit. Like, I would rather do something and, you know, realize later on, like, okay, maybe this, I have to, you know, close this chapter for a little bit, than to just sit around and be like, what if forever? So I think of it as like, if I could do it, I don't have a college degree, I have a cosmetology license, and that's it. So if I could do it, anybody can do it. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, obviously, like, if you never try, you'll never know how it worked out, and it could work out really well. So
exactly.
It takes a lot of bravery and courage, though, to take that step, which is really admirable of you.
Thank you.
Yes. And then before we get to our lovely Roman Empire,
yes,
if you have any piece of advice for any other young professionals.
Ooh, for any other young professional, I would say, I feel like it's all about, like, honestly, just leaning in on the genuine people that you can, like, like, I truly couldn't, this isn't like a just me type of thing. Like I said, my family is so involved. So don't be afraid to, you know, rely, like, lean on, you know, trusted people to just be there as support for you, however, you know, you would need it to see fit. Like the salon would not run itself if it wasn't for, you know, my dad and my husband, that's for sure. And like, just even like the little things that they do is what's really helpful. Also too, if you are one that's like hire employees, make sure that you are, you know, hiring like genuine people. Don't be afraid to like really fine tooth comb things. I have had to say no to people more than I thought that I would this year, just because, you know, at the end of the day, if someone doesn't seem like a good fit for your brand, they're probably not. Mm-hmm. So with that, quality is so much better than quantity. And then, yeah, like I was saying before, like, just don't be afraid to like do the research and ask the hard questions, because at the end of the day, no one cares more than you.
And you didn't think we'd leave without a little Roman Empire. So we are back. So let's kick it off with our lovely guest today. Gosh. How about? Yeah, why don't you?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, my Roman Empires have been kind of silly. But one, I've been thinking about, I think I'm going to start watching Dancing with the Stars again.
Real?
I did it. I used to watch it growing up, like, every season religiously. And I feel like I just, like, got away from it. But I was a huge Secret Lives and Mormon Wives watcher on the Empires were.
Oh, yeah.
And Whitney and Jen are both going to be on it. So I was like, I kind of have to watch it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I know it's coming on soon. So I feel like that's been, like, my main thing that I've been thinking about.
I'm obsessed with that.
Did you watch Secret Lives and Mormon Wives?
Oh, yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did you too?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What? Are you guys going to watch it then?
Maybe. Probably.
Yeah.
Perfect clips.
Yep. Well, and I also just love Dancing with the Stars because, like, I follow all the actual dancers on TikTok.
What was so full circle for me was seeing some of the dances that I remember from literally 20 years ago when I was, like, Mark Ballas. I was like, I remember you from 20 years ago. Literally. Like, the fact that you're still on as a dancer, too.
That's wild.
That is iconic.
And, though, yeah, siblings are always so...
Yes. So, oh, my gosh. They're always so... Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they crack me up on... Especially Derek. He cracks me up on TikTok, too.
Yeah.
I think the last time I watched was when JoJo Siwa was...
Oh, rare.
About that. I had to watch when Anna Delvey was on because I was like so interested in the fact that they were like, hey, this criminal who did all this stuff, or did she? Dun dun dun. Anyway,
yeah.
Libby, why don't you go ahead?
This is like so random, but my Roman Empire has been my TikTok for you is currently dominated with all of the different niche aesthetics. Like, especially the ones pertaining to, like, early digital times. Like,
oh, like Frutiger.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just keep seeing so many videos. And, like, I saw one and it was, like, here's your, like, niche core based on your birth month. and it was like 2000s Hawaii, and then someone commented and they're like, that's actually called Tropetica or whatever it's called, and it's like every single thing has a name, and I just keep seeing so many, and they're all so nostalgic.
How does everything have such a name?
Yeah,
so, that's why
I'm just like learning about all the different aesthetics and cores, right? And I've
also very fun. I think
it's also crazy too, is like things that were, you feel like were so niche to like just you and like your cores, and it's like, oh, so we all had the same job.
Like, I feel like I say at least once a day, I've never had an original experience.
No, because
at least someone else out there knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, which is like great. I'm not crazy if it's relatable, but it's like I'm also not a unique person.
Okay, uniqueness is a lie.
So my Roman Empire today is I read this book and it was curated by I believe the New York Times, this like little column that they had, and it's called Tiny Love Stories. And I read through, it's like 190 something pages of all of these like one paragraph love stories, and it's love, it's loss, like friendship love, romantic love, family love, like all this stuff. And there's a couple of them that have photos attached, and there was one of this man, I'm gonna well up talking about it. There was one of this man, and he was writing about how his like baby son, who was probably like 2 or 3, and his dad, the three of them were taking an hour-long train ride to get somewhere, and the grandpa had Parkinson's, and there was only one seat available on the train, and so the grandson, this little baby, was like, give it to him. So he sits in this seat, but then the grandson, all he wanted to do was sit in the grandpa's lap. But because, like, the grandpa had Parkinson's, it was so hard for him to, like, hold on to the little baby. And so he did it, though. For the whole hour-long train ride, he held so tight. And then his hands were, like, shaking by the end of it. And the dad was talking about how when he was a kid, his dad, who is now the grandpa, would always hold him on the train. And that, like, seeing this full circle moment was so beautiful. Sweet. And there was a photo of the grandpa holding the baby, and I cried. It was so good.
That's like a sigh. I feel like I'm tearing up just hearing
this.
I mean, and there were so many, like, really good stories about, like, strangers meeting each other and falling in love, or, like, you know, people who had gotten divorced but then realized they were the great loves of each other's lives and got back together. Like, just a lot of really unique stories. And it was just really cool to read. So I would recommend it for a keep.
Yeah.
And it's one of those that you could do, like, in one sitting or, like, one a day.
So yeah, it's a really easy read, too. Just
It is. It's lovely. So that's my Roman Empire. Hee hee. I love it. Well, Tiana, thank you so much for coming on. We so appreciated it.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
We want to thank our guest on today's show, Tiana Dorsley. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the amazing Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.